FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 10/2/19. We're moving right along. Gold was beaten, but not out. If you happen to have been watching the prices, well, today it's right around 12:30, and gold is at the bid 1530. That's on the spot. Silver, spot silver, 1758, up 37 cents the ounce. Gold is up 2170 the ounce. So gold shares not moving a heck of a lot, but they will have their day in the sun, of that you can be sure. What do you think the price of gold is going to do? Is it going to languish till mid to end of Q4, or is it going to take off before then because everything is falling apart? Let us know what you think. Email address kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, our good friend David Earthly is back with us. You know him well from juniorminerjunkie.com. That's junior, M-I-N-E-R, junkie, J-U-N-K-Y. So understand, it's not like junkie, J-U-N-K-I-E, someone who's addicted to a number of different substances, usually dealing with heroin, but hey, we're not into that. In any event, David, welcome as always. So we saw this market take a hit. We saw all the junior miners really turn into junk again for a couple of days, and now they're clawing their way back out of the trap.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Thanks again for having me on the show, Kerry. Always great to talk to you. We had the final end of the quarter on a Monday. And gold was hanging up there above that critical support level at 1480 all quarter. And then the last day of the quarter, we had some tape painting and some quarter end book squaring, some fund managers taking some profits. And the gold price closed below 1480 on a quarterly and a monthly basis. And the miners were hit. The juniors were hit. People were expecting, okay, here we go down to 1455, 1450 area, which is the next line of support. And lo and behold,
it held tight.
We have a pop here. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we also have all the Chinese market offline this week because it's Golden Week there, and they're on vacation for the entire week. So it's really interesting how this safe haven demand has come right back into the marketplace.
Yeah. Hey, we should define what painting the tape is. It's a term that I use quite a bit. Anybody in the financial sector is using it because it happens all the time. So going to Investopedia, painting the tape is a form of market manipulation whereby market players attempt to influence the price of a security, substitute that a commodity or a metal, by buying and selling it among themselves to create the appearance of substantial trading activity. Two common objectives of painting the tape are to lure unsuspecting investors into a security and to achieve a high closing price for it. I would add to that also to squeeze them out, to squeeze out shorts. Often that's the case, to squeeze out longs, to squeeze out weaker holders so that the commodity or security will go into stronger hands who will then run it up and take the profit.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Auron Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Auron is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier 7-project portfolio, including its 2 flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. through. Auryn's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Auryn's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Auryn trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to auryn resources.com. That's AURYN resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, that's I couldn't have said it better myself. But like I said, it's when things like this happen, Kerry, you know, the gold price got really overextended. We had a lot of people on the gold bandwagon. This consolidation was very healthy, and now this possible correction will also be very healthy. But we also take a look at what was going on with the commitment of traders. You had commercial hedgers who were net short the highest amount of contracts in its 33-year history. So all that conspired for a sharp move down. But the good news is we're going to find out how improved that commitment of traders report is this Friday, because all this happened, all this this downward spiral in the gold price happened during the last week, which ended on Tuesday for the commitment of traders reports reporting. So we're going to find out on Friday how much of that was unwound. But I look at all this as healthy action. I don't like to see the gold price get too far ahead of itself without a correction. And I still wouldn't be surprised to see that 1450 level tested on this move, unless the gold price is able to get back above 1525 here really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's really strong today, I'll tell you that. And it did pretty well yesterday, too. So it was up a bit. It looks like we're heading back to 2011 now. Craig Hemke, our good friend from tfmetalsreport.com, has documented this, and he believes that 2011, 2019 are very similar years in terms of what's happening to metal. And so far he's been right, because you've seen the prices break out. You've seen them break through technical resistance that held them for nearly 7 years and broke that 1450. That's now the support level. And just the recent action, you know, when they paint the tape, they can hit it at the worst possible moment and knock it down. But when the market's heading up, it's really not going to have a long-term effect on it. Yeah, it could be a couple of days, maybe a week or two even, but it looks like the duration is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, but that 1550 level is very, very strong resistance. And gold is yet to close above that level on a weekly closing basis. I remember vividly, as you're bringing up 2011, back in 2010, 2011, that 1550 level was very strong support. And I remember unloading a lot of my mining shares once gold crossed above 1900. And I said to myself, boy, if that 1550 level breaks, I'm probably going to be selling a lot more, because that's really strong support. And lo and behold, once it broke, that's when the bear market was ushered in pronto. And that happened in early 2013. And the GDX ended up going down 84%, and the gold price ended up going down to 1050 from 1925. So what was very strong support before has become very strong resistance now in this move. So like I said, I really like to see that broken on a weekly basis before I'd expect the gold price to reach the next level, which a lot of these analysts are talking about, which is 1700.
Yeah. And, you know, I do a monthly major market review with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Gold only went down 3.3% last month. Silver was the big casualty, down 17.9%, but you expect silver to behave that way, because it was way up vis-a-vis gold in this last rally.
Right, yes. Silver always lags on the upside, but once it finally does break out, it always it always goes up more than gold. It outperforms gold percent on a percentage basis. And if you take a look at the monthly chart of silver, the 50-month moving average was a Maginot line of resistance ever since 2013, when it broke down below, when it broke down with the gold price. And that support, that resistance was finally broken here a few months ago. And I think that's going to, that resistance is now going to be support. And that support on the 50-month moving average in silver is around 1640 right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that level tested before this move, before this correction is over.
Yeah, could be. Or, you know, the other thing is, it could be that it was trading so strongly, it would have gone up a lot more, but now they had to drive it down. And there's a classic paint taping exercise to do that on the last trading day, the last two trading days of the month. That also happened to be the last trading day of the quarter. You know, it was perfectly timed. You know, the algorithms, when it comes to hitting the market at the weakest possible moment, it's downright masterful that it can be done, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what, 75% of these trades are computer algorithm based.
Yeah.
You really see it on Fed days and on non-farm payroll.
Non-farm payrolls. And God, yeah.
Right. And you're going to see another one this Friday. So there's a very important NFP report coming out this Friday, because the ISM manufacturing reports for both the U.S. and Germany were very bad. And that's why we're seeing all this weakness in the stock market right now. And you're seeing the benefit coming into safe haven gold. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens with the NFP report, because if you get a bad NFP report this Friday, that's pretty much going to solidify another rate cut by the Fed on October 30th, because that's the last NFP report before that FOMC meeting. So the market right now is already pricing in a 75% chance of another rate cut. And of course, that's going to benefit gold as well.
Yeah, it should, but maybe not the day it happens. It might be a little anticlimactic, but with the ISM numbers plunging, manufacturing numbers plunging, good chance. You know, what Trump has wanted them to do is get out ahead of the recession. You know, I don't know how well that works, because they've been very bad at even calling recessions, but the Fed knows exactly what's going on. 75% chance. What about if they cut it 50 basis points? Is that possible?
I don't see that happening. The Fed doesn't like to surprise markets. So as long as the rate cut is over 50% priced in, they're going to cut. A quarter point, cutting a half point. I don't see that happen.
You know what? I'll tell you what, the Fed is as predictable as a 25-year-old marriage. Nothing new happened in there, right? And
the Fed's been on the hot seat more than any time in its history right now. We had the most divided Fed since 1986 in the last meeting. And, you know, you've got the president tweeting every other day about how terrible they are. Actually calling them the enemy.
He's right for the wrong reasons, but yeah, he's absolutely right, but totally for the wrong reasons. But he can't really say the right reason, so he's got to say what he says, right?
exactly. But you know, these central banks, they keep their loose monetary policies going here. You know, Australia just lowered their rates again this week. So as long as the central banks continue to destroy their currencies, you know, then investors are going to continue to shy away from those currencies and central bank policies by buying gold. I mean, gold has now become pretty much the safe haven currency. It's going up with the dollar.
Oh, yeah.
And it's rising in all currencies, and it's made all-time highs in over 75 global currencies.
Hey, just remember, the U.S. dollar is the Taj Mahal of Baltimore.
So. Yes, but it's also a safe haven, because most of that debt overseas is denominated in dollars. So I think the dollar is going to continue to climb, and gold's going to continue to climb right along with it.
I totally agree. You know, all that debt. Besides that, the banks in Europe are shot. They're like Weekend at Bernie's. And when you've got billions of dollars that you have to park every night, are you going to park it in Deutsche Bank, are you going to park it in JP Morgan Chase or Wells Fargo, or at least going to say something obscene about this one, but Citibank, you know, one of those, right? Where are you going to park the money?
And also, you know, blue chip stocks that pay a dividend. You know, I see a correction here in the stock market, but I don't see a crash.
No. No.
What's it going to crash against? I mean, it's really interesting that the stock market is beginning to correct hard the exact same day it started last year, which was October 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which October is the month of crashes. But no, I tend to agree with Martin Armstrong's thesis, which is that gold, the dollar, and the stock market will move up higher, dramatically higher in tandem. You know, he's talking like 35,000, 32,000. He's even said 50,000. He's kind of all over the board as to how high it can go. But I believe that the stock market is going to go much higher.
Yes.
Call me crazy.
I have to agree with that too.
It just makes so much sense because A, everyone's expecting it to crash. So right there, the contrarians have it. And the so-called search for safety or value or tangible, the only tangible thing that most entities can put their money into is the stock market. They can't really buy gold in any meaningful quantities. It's very difficult to buy the quantity and the storage. So then they're going to go to ETFs, whatever, but it's just not the place. So they'll buy stocks. And that's why countries' central banks are buying stocks all over the place. So, but, you know, we do see a lot of undervalued companies out there who've gotten major discoveries. We don't have to name names, but the sector overall is looks like it's gearing up, and the managements, you know, we were both at Beaver Creek, the managements are gearing up for a major push forward here. You know, they're different types of companies than they were 8 years ago, you know?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, the junior mining sector, the junior explorers, the junior early stage companies, I mean, the junior sector in particular, it's the last deep value play left in the marketplace. Yeah. Everything else has gone up. Usually in bubble form in so many of these sectors, and the miners are just sitting there ridiculously undervalued. And as long as the gold price stays above 1400, the longer it stays above 1400, the juniors will begin to catch a bid. I mean, these capital markets, they're still a bit skittish from early 2016 when they came in full bore. And a lot of them got burned because that move sold off over the next few years. And they're now a bit cautious. They want to make sure that gold remains above 1400 for at least a few quarters here. And we're going to start to see some quarterly financial reports coming out from these miners. And they should be very good as the gold price maintained that floor above 1500 up until the last day of the quarter, last quarter. Hey. So it's really going to be interesting to see how the market reacts to these financial reports that are going to be coming out here towards the end of this month.
Totally agree. One company that we both know, they only produce 3,000 ounces of gold per month. If you multiply that times 1,500, you're looking at $4.5 million, right? Have that right? Yeah.
Right.
$4.5 million. But all of their PEAs, their preliminary economic assessment, their final feasibility study was all done at like $1,300 gold, and they were modestly pretty good IRR, pretty good profitability. Now they're $200 ahead. That is 200 times 3,000 is $600,000. That's $7.2 million for a junior miner that's actually producing. That the profits just went way, way higher.
Right. Yes, that's a good point. And it's, you know, once these reports start to come out, we're going to see how much of that is factored into the marketplace also, because you've seen a huge move in a lot of these companies, and a lot of that excess is being sold off a bit here in consolidation, which needs to happen. It's healthy. So like I said, as long as 1400 holds, I'm happy as an investor in this sector, because the companies that I like to invest in, the companies that I follow, that I cover, are making profit at $1,400.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. Could not agree with you more on that. And we're in for a really interesting market ahead for sure. It's going to be profitable and it's going to run for a number of more years for sure. My guess is we're going to break 1500, maybe go back and forth a couple times, but there will be a catalyzing event and it will go above 1500, and 1500 will become a memory probably by the end of the year. You know, it's a funny thing. Peter Hug, analyst over at Kitco, his prediction was 1550. Now, I had someone else that had a prediction end of the year gold 1800. I'm gonna be like the totally skittish, squeamish, squishy, effete intellectual and say it will be somewhere between 1550 and 1800. And if you want to take half of that, it'll be 1675. How's that sound?
I like it. Gold ends the year at 1675. I'll be very happy, and so will my subscribers.
Yeah, so will I, and so will everyone in my group as well. David Earthly, Junior Miner Junkie. That's miner with an E and junkie with a Y, J-U-N-K-Y. Check it out. Subscribe to it. David, any special offers for anybody out there? Any way to connect with you direct?
Well, thanks for asking, Kerry. Yeah, right now my service is full. It just became full recently. I cap it at 250 members because I give my subscribers a 24-hour notice before I buy something. What I like to do is I write up a report on something that I'm about to buy, and then I send it out to my subscribers a day before I buy it. And then we all try to get in at kind of the same time. And a lot of these things are thinly traded, so I like to cap my service. But I do have cancellations from time to time. And I do have a waiting list. Now, if you go to my website, juniorminerjunkiewithay.com, and go to my subscribe page, there's an area where you can sign up for the waiting list.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that, a waiting list. And well, anyways, hey, we have a link to it in the show notes, the interview on Financial Survival Network. Send us an email with your thoughts about precious metals, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed @KerryLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. We also, on my personal one, I do a lot of Florida Man humor, because if you're into Florida Man, you know what it's about. So just check out that personal Facebook page too. And of course, please visit the site Financial Survival Network, the major search engine who will go nameless, has literally got us sandboxed. So only by you going to the site and subscribing can I keep the communication up, because we are, I guess, one of those sites that they just don't like, because we're libertarian. We say what we think. We aren't intimidated and we're not afraid. So you're going to have to spread the word. So if you're listening to this, please subscribe to whatever platform it is, whether it's iTunes or Google or YouTube. Just subscribe to it and like it and share it. Leave some comments. I've been answering a lot of comments lately, both the positive ones and the negative ones. I mean, I really get a charge out of it. I'm almost ready to just say, just leave your comments on YouTube. It's easier there to answer them en masse than it is any other platform that I use. Anyway, David, always a pleasure. We will talk to you in the not too distant future, and let's see what happens next.
Okay, I look forward to it, Kerry. Thanks a lot and have a good week.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.